We are back to our Perfect Man series this Sunday. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, it's such a great chapter. You know, if you look at one of the major themes of Hebrews chapter 12, it's about stability. It's about being unmovable. And you know, when it comes to our Christian life, we need to learn how to be stable. You know, we're called to be faithful and to see it through to the end, you know, to remain faithful to the Lord. And you know, if the moment you believed on Christ, nothing's going to change your destination. You are on your way to heaven. But, you know, living the Christian life is challenging, isn't it? To live a life that is faithful, making steps progressively forward, is a challenge. And there are many Christians. I've been saved, like I said, I've been in church for a lot of my life, and I've seen many, you know, start this walk and do their best to be faithful, and then they just fall away. You know, they're just out of church. They just have no longer interest in anything to do with the Lord, or they're no longer picking up their Bibles, or they're no longer soul winning. They're no longer doing the things that they once did. But, you know, chapter 12 is all about being unmovable and reminding ourselves that we have a God that is unmovable, that He's going to keep us stable in our walk, in our race, as we're going to soon see, for Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at there in verse number 1, Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Brethren, the Christian life is a race. We have a race set before us, and that race has been set by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have a race to run now. Think about that for a moment. You know, yes, I've been saved. Praise God. It's free. It's in Jesus Christ. Well, great. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But now we need to live this life on this earth. And the Bible says it is like a race. It is like a race. So think about it for a moment. You know, if you're going to run in a race, you're going to compete with other people. Are you just going to turn up on the day without preparation? Are you just going to turn up and think you're going to win the race and just going to school everybody without ever really thinking about how long the race is, what's going to be required from you? No, you know, when we think about a race, we think about have the necessary, you know, the necessity to prepare and the objective to get to the end of that race. The title for the sermon this morning is A Race of Endurance, A Race of Endurance. There are different types of races. And the race in the Christian life is a race of endurance. We're here racing in this life till Jesus Christ takes us to be home with Him in heaven. And so we're going to be looking primarily at Hebrews chapter 12, just the first few verses. And I want to take some thoughts out of this passage. And I've got one extra thought that we're going to look at another passage. But, you know, we're going to primarily stay there in Hebrews 12. And then, you know, when I get to turn to other passages, just stay in Hebrews 12 as well, if you can for me. Now, when we look at verse number 1, we've got already some points that we can bring out about this race. How can we endure? How can we stay in this race for the Lord Jesus Christ? And as I said to you, it saddens my heart when I see Christians who are just on fire for God, just wanting to serve God. And I see their zeal. I see their passion. And I don't want to downplay their desire to serve God. I don't want to slow them down in the race if that's the speed they want to go. But sometimes, brethren, I just see people fall away from serving the Lord, fall away for many different reasons. And we need to make sure that we endure, that we stay racing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to notice there in verse number 1. So this is about endurance. How can we stay motivated? How can we stay in the race? I love how verse number 1 begins. It says, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about. So we're surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Brethren, point number 1 is that you have witnesses cheering you on. You have witnesses cheering you on in the race. Just as much as, you know, you might see, a sporting event and you've got the stadium full of witnesses, full of spectators, and they're cheering on their favorite team or they're cheering on their player. Brethren, we've got the same surrounding around us as well. We have witnesses cheering us on, wanting us to win this race, wanting us to do the best we can as we endure for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say to me, Pastor, who is that witness? Who are the witnesses that are watching us? Well, if you know Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that came before, that chapter is known as the chapter of faith. And it mentions a great number of people that were faithful toward God. And then we get to verse number 12. Wherefore, in other words, it's a conjunction to what we just read about. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed, but with so great a cloud of witnesses, it's the same witnesses that we read there in chapter number 11. Because in chapter 11, we have all these believers that we read about in the Old Testament that have run the race as well. They know what it is like to run the race. They know what it's like to endure. They know the challenges. They've gotten to the end of their finish line. And now they want other Christians, other believers of the next generations, getting to the end of that finish line as well. You say, who are those witnesses? Well, we don't have time to go through chapter 11 right now, but just some of the names that I mentioned. We've got Abel. We have Enoch. We have Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Yes, even the ladies I mentioned, Sarah. We've got Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, Rahab. Hey, even the harlot Rahab ran this race, and she's cheering us on. Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. And then it says, and of the prophets, meaning all the prophets. All the prophets have penned God's word. All the prophets that have proclaimed the word of God, brethren. They are all witnesses of this race. They are watching us from heaven. And you know what? If you, let's say, you know, God forbid, but if today was your last day, as we say when God does the soul winning, and we pass away, then you are going to be in heaven. And guess what? You're going to be cheering those of us that remain on this earth on as well as we continue on this race. Now, someone once said to me, you know, I don't like this idea of people watching us on this earth because I sin, because I struggle, because I fail. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like heaven to me if all these believers see me in my sinful state and see me make mistakes. But here's the thing, brethren. They're not witnessing your mistakes. They're not witnessing your sin, okay? They're witnessing the race. So if you get off the race, brethren, if you get yourself into a sinful lifestyle, if you get yourself away from the Lord God, far from the Lord, you're no longer in the race. The witnesses aren't watching you then, are they? They're only watching you when you're running the race. And you're running the race when you're in the new man, when you're serving the Lord, when you're achieving great things for the Lord. So you don't have to worry about these witnesses seeing you in your sin. They're watching you in the race that God has set before us. And so that should be our first motivating factor to continue enduring, is to know that we've got these believers in heaven cheering us on. I mean, same believers that we've seen struggle, the same believers that encourage us as we read about the stories. You know, think about the Abrahams and the Noahs. Think about the people that have done great things for God, and they're cheering you on. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Keep serving the Lord. Won't that get us motivated? Won't that get us encouraged to just serve Him? Well, this is the truth of God's word. They are watching us as we run this race. But brethren, also, we have other witnesses on this earth, don't we? We have our brothers and sisters in this church that, you know, that we can be an encouragement toward. You know, we can motivate one another in this race. And one way to motivate our brethren isn't just kind words, and that's a great way to motivate, but another way to motivate our brethren is by our example. And my question is, you know, what kind of example are you? Are you a motivating factor for your brethren to run the race, or are you a discouragement? You know, you say, how can I be an encouragement? You know, well, yes, it's nice words, fellowship, you know, encouraging words, that's great. But really, the example that we set in our life is going to be the greater motivating factor. You know, if you're trying to encourage your church to go soul winning, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be soul winning. You need to set that example. You know, if you want to encourage your church to know their Bibles better, you know what you need to be doing? Reading your Bibles. You know, if you want to encourage people in church attendance, you know where you need to be? In church. Attending church. You know, our example can be a motivating factor for our brethren, but we can also be in a discouragement. You know, if our brethren are trying to serve God faithfully and you know, we don't give them, you know, any encouragement, or, you know, we have this attitude, oh, you know, because we feel bad maybe because we're not serving God the way we should be and others are, and we just don't give them, you know, the encouraging words because, you know, it makes us feel bad about ourselves or something like that. No, you know, we should be encouraging our brethren and not be a discouragement toward them. We have other witnesses besides those that are watching us in heaven. We have our brothers and sisters in this church. And I understand my role as a pastor. I'm supposed to be an example of the believers. I know that my life should be something that helps motivate and encourage other brethren to want to serve the Lord, to want to be in church, to want to do the best they can to run this race that has been set before us. And so point number one, brethren, is you have witnesses cheering you on. And I hope that can be a motivating factor for you to endure in this race. What else do we learn in verse number one? It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside... Hey, there are some things that we need to lay aside. There are some things we need to get rid of, as it were. Okay? Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The word beset is to trouble us. You know, there are things that are a weight. Like, if you're going to run a race, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've seen any races. You know, people, they try to limit the weight that they have on their bodies. You know, they have slimming outfits. Not that I like the slimming outfits. You know, I don't think that's a great look anyway. But, you know, the idea, you know, you might see swimmers. They try to have, you know, skin-tight clothing to stop the resistance. You know, going to run a race and being distracted with this world, being distracted with the sins of this world and the pleasures of the world, it's like adding weights to our body. It's like getting ready to run the race. All right, ready, steady, and you've got bags of cement just hanging off you. How are you going to win the race, brethren? How are you going to endure? You're going to get exhausted trying to run a race, you know? You can't have one foot running the race and another foot trying to serve yourself and serving the world. You're not going to run effectively, brethren. You're not going to run effectively. You're not going to get to the end. You're not going to get to the finish line, as it were. And, you know, overcoming distraction, it's such a key part to the Christian life. There is so much to distract us. You know, we have so much media. We have so much entertainment. We have so much, programming that comes into our life that distracts us from the race that Jesus Christ has left us to do. Now, when I think about this race, I'm going to quickly read to you. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to quickly read to you from 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24, because there is something that I want you to just be mindful about. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Brethren, you might say to me, "Well, I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a deacon." And you know, maybe it's a race for these people to run. No, it says this is a race that run all. It doesn't matter who you are. You've been saved today. You're on the race track. You are called to run this race. But then it says this: "But one receiveth the prize." Well, we know that. You know, when it comes to an earthly sense, when you have a race, there's one that wins the gold medal. But then it says this: "So run that ye may obtain." So run that ye may obtain. So the point here, brethren, is we've got a prize to win. You know, and you know, I don't want you to misunderstand. This is not saying that we're in competition with one another. We're not. I'm not in competition with Brother Jason. I'm not in competition with Brother Michael or Brother Rob. I'm not in competition with anybody. And you're not in competition with me, brethren. We're motivating together. We're encouraging one another. We all have our own race to run. But the point being, just like in an earthly sense, where you've got several people that are competing for that one prize, we ought to run in the same way. We ought to run with a desire to win that prize. We are not in competition with one another, but we should be running as though there's something to win. And there is something to win. Jesus Christ, when he returns, is going to reward us. He's going to give us for the work and service we've done for him. And I have no doubt, the moment that we stand before Christ, we are all going to desire to have done more. We're going to have regrets. I wish I ran the race better. I wish I ran longer. I wish I endured harder. You know, I wish I didn't get distracted with all the sins and the every weight that has easily beset us. Now, there's something else I want you to notice there in verse number... Actually, you know what, brethren? I do want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. My apologies. Keep your finger there and please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because we are on topic number two, on point number two here, of overcoming distractions. Overcoming distractions. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24, just a reminder. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." Verse number 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery," well, that's the prize, look, "is temperate in all things." Now, I just want you to keep that in your mind, okay? If you're going to run for the mastery, you're temperate in all things. This is my next point, okay? So let's just move on, but temperate in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So the earthly race, the crown they're winning, the gold medal they're going to win, it's corruptible. It's gonna burn, brethren. But the treasures that we're running for is incorruptible. They're in heaven. Verse number 26, look at this. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Okay? So if we run, we ought to be certain that there's a prize to be won. You know, if we fight, you know, the Christian life is also a life of warfare, spiritual warfare. If we fight, we're not as one that beats the air. You know, it's not this empty race. It's not this empty fight. There's something to achieve. There's something to win. Okay? That's what he's saying. But then it says this in verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So what does he realize? He realizes, I want to run this race. I want to win this fight. But my body gets in the way. My flesh gets in the way. This is the same thing as we saw there in Hebrews. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily besets us. You know that your biggest hindrance in running your race is yourself. It's your flesh. It's your flesh. And brethren, we all have it. We all have this flesh that does not want to walk in God's ways. We have this flesh that wants to sin and has sinned and will continue to sin. We have this flesh that loves the entertainment and the distractions that come from this world. Brethren, we all have it, okay? But I want you to understand, we need to remind ourselves we have something to win. We need to overcome distractions. And the greatest distraction is your own flesh. And so what are we to do to bring this body or this flesh into subjection? Bring it into obedience of the new man. Say, no flesh, you stand aside while I run in the new man this race that Christ has set before me. But if see, this is such an important part of our life because it says here, let's look at verse 27 again. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. He says, look, if I don't bring my body under subjection, if I don't bring it into obedience, then after I've served Christ and I'm preaching to other people, I'm going to end up being a castaway. I'm going to fail in this race. I'm going to fall off the race if I don't look after myself. And I need to remind myself this as a pastor because I do a lot of preaching to a lot of people. And I'm preaching four times a week. And you know what? Yes, I have Bible knowledge. I have experience in my life and I have Christian experience. I have, you know, other experiences that I can bring to my preaching. But I can't think that just because I preach to others and because I preach the truth that I'm going to finish this race, that I'm going to run and endure and I'm never going to be cast away. Brethren, I can be. Because, you know, it's possible for pastors to just give into the flesh. It's possible for pastors to be distracted with the things of this world and then come on a Sunday and come on a midweek and preach the truth of God's word. And I hope you benefit from it. And then this pastor can just fall away. You know, this pastor can just give into this world. You know, this pastor can stop, you know, serving God with his life, you know, in his own personal life. And again, I've seen this. The reason I'm saying this is because I've seen this after pastor, after pastor, after pastor. And it breaks my heart. And so many of these pastors that have fallen away, so many of these pastors that have been cast away have been encouragement to me over the years. Like I've learned great truths from them. You know, I've been encouraged, I've been motivated to get into the race by these pastors, then I see them fail away. Why? Because they did not bring their own body into subjection. They preached to others, but they did not care about their own spiritual life. And brethren, you know, as I said to you, you know, we ought to motivate our brethren. We should encourage our brethren. But look at your own body. Look at your own flesh. You know, it brings humility when we remind ourselves just how sinful we are. We remind ourselves just how wicked our thoughts can be. The thoughts of the heart, the imaginations that run wild. You know, we just remind ourselves just how frail we are. You know, and it's great to preach to others. It's great to motivate one another. But look after yourself. Overcome the distractions that are in the flesh. Back to Hebrews chapter 12, please. And verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 1, there are two weights, there are two elements that can cause us distractions in this race. Let me just talk about the first one, which is the second one on this list. It says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Okay, and I said the word beset is to trouble us. You know, our sins trouble us. Even though we give into sinful ways because there's a temporary, you know, moment of pleasure or whatever it is, you know, that causes us to desire that. But at the end of the day, brethren, all sin does is bring us trouble. Brings us trouble upon ourselves, bring us trouble in our family, our friendships, our service for God. All it does is bring trouble. And I know the truth. I know we're going to sin to the day we die. But again, just a constant reminder, brethren, we need to learn to overcome. You know, we need to ask, go to God and say, God, give me victory over my sins. You know, as you're running this race, part of what this race looks like is that you're slowly getting rid of more and more and more sins in your life and that you're being more effective in your run for the Lord, okay? So there's sin, and you know, we preach on sin all the time. But the other element, the other thing that is mentioned there, before and the sin, so there's another element, not just a sin, it says let us lay aside every weight. You see, we have other weights in our life that stop us from running that are not necessarily sinful. Okay, there are other distractions in this life that stops us from serving Christ, but they're not sinful in of themselves. So we're to lay aside every weight, all right? Now, you know, to me, I know, you know, I'm trying to, for example, get off social media, right? I mean, you know, I think a lot of people can waste a lot of time on this stuff. I mean, you can maybe watch one YouTube video, and then you've got a recommended video, you watch that. And so, well, it's only 3 minutes long, Pastor Kevin. Yeah, then when you finish watching that, then there's another three-minute video. And then after that, there's another three-minute video. And then all of a sudden, like 10 videos later, you're like, I didn't intend to start this way. What am I watching? You know, what is this? You know, where am I? You know, how did I get here? It's so easy to be distracted. And sometimes it's not even things that are sinful, you know. I mean, this can be a sporting team. You know, I love soccer, I love basketball, there are different sports that I enjoy. You know, there are different teams that I would like to win, but it doesn't matter if they win, whether they win or not, it doesn't really bother me too much. But you know what, it's so easy to be distracted by sports. It's so easy to be distracted by video games. It's so easy to be distracted by friendships that profit you nothing for the Lord. You know, there are so many weights that we may have, brethren, that we need to learn to lay them aside. Now, I'm not saying that you need to just get rid of everything and all your life has to be is just a race constantly. No, brethren, there's a time to relax. There's a time to rest. There's a time to enjoy life. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with social media in of itself. There's nothing wrong with video games in of itself. There's nothing wrong with sports in of themselves, brethren. But if you're getting so distracted by these things that you're not running the race, then you need to lay aside that weight. You need to figure out what is stopping me from serving God the way that I should be. You know, soul winning, that's something God has left us to do. You know, I don't know how much soul winning we're doing. Like, you know, I've been stopped, brethren. I went months without soul winning because of the lockdowns in Sydney. And I just couldn't wait for that to go. Like, and you know why? I've been out, you know, I told you guys, I've done a whole week, a whole marathon week. A marathon week, because it's a race. There are souls to be won. And I know there are times that we just can't do it for whatever reason outside of our control. But brethren, we need to get into soul winning. We need to get back into it. This is a soul winning church. Let it be a church with soul winning members. I don't know what your soul winning is like in 2022, but I hope it's more than it was in 2021. And I hope it's more than it was in 2020. Say, well, Pastor Kevin, you know, I can honestly say that I've not been soul winning the way that I should be. Well, what weights are there? You know, what weights do you have in your life that are stopping you from just fighting 1 hour a week? I mean, just 1 hour a week to just go and knock my neighbor's door and to give him the gospel. You know, you don't necessarily need to go out on the official times that we have in church. Hey, maybe that doesn't work for you. I understand. It doesn't always work for me. I've got a big family. It's hard to manage those things sometimes. But I can find an hour. I can find 2 hours. And if I'm honest with you, I can probably find several hours a week to go soul winning. So what's stopping us? What distractions, what weights are stopping us from serving God the way that we should? I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I love this passage of scripture because it brings sobriety to my mind. Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Brethren, we have a choice in this life. Do we sow to this flesh? Or do we sow to the Spirit? Do we sow to the new man? Do we sow to the things of God? We've got a choice. You know, and look, we're always going to sow a little bit to the flesh. As I said, we can't get past it. But brethren, you start sowing to this flesh, you know what you're going to reap? The Bible says corruption. That there's no eternal profit reaping to this flesh. You just make this flesh stronger. Actually, you make it weaker. Okay, you make it weaker and it causes you to follow after the things that will distract you from the race. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Brethren, if we just reap to the things of God, to the spiritual man, the new man, to the Holy Spirit, we listen to the Holy Spirit of God and we walk in his ways, brethren, we're going to reap eternal things. Eternal rewards, the prize of the race. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's treasures in heaven. There are rewards that Jesus Christ wants to give us at his coming. And I want you to have the maximum reward. I don't want you to lose any reward that you could gain by serving Jesus Christ. But we need to get rid of these earthly distractions. Brethren, this life on this earth, maybe 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years if you're lucky. We have all eternity forever to live in that next life to come. Let's get as rich as we can in that next life. Let's get as many prizes, as many treasures as we can in that next life. That's all that's going to matter. The moment that you go into that next life, which is going to be for all eternity, that's all that's going to matter. You know, and I don't want us to have regrets looking back at the little 70 years that we got on this earth and to think that we wasted our time being distracted so into this flesh rather than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only does it say that in Galatians 6, in verse number 9, it continues. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the same idea of endurance, okay? To endure is to not faint. So, the Holy Spirit here, you know, under the, the Apostle Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, knows that we become weary in well-doing. We understand, like, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, you should just be fired up all the time. You know, you wake up in the morning and you sing praise, I'm just going to walk in the ways, I'm going to run this race. You know, brethren, it's not possible. You know, if you know, the more we serve Christ, the more we do for Him, brethren, we are going to become weary. It is tiresome. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The more we do for the Lord, the more this body is going to fight us. You know, the more distractions are going to try to influence our life, the more the kingdom of Satan is trying to stop us from serving the Lord. You know, it becomes weary, just like a race. You know, you run a race of endurance, there's going to be moments that you get tired. But brethren, when you get tired, when you get weary, don't stop. Don't stop. Hey, maybe slow down, okay? Maybe slow down if you have to when you get weary, but continue doing, you know, your good works. Continue serving the Lord, even if you have to slow down a little bit. Okay, don't get to the point where you become weary and you faint and you stop the race. And you know what, brethren, I can honestly say in my life, there's been many times that I've stopped the race. Many times that I've become weary serving the Lord and I just fainted. And you know, I'm not saying recently, but I'm saying in my, you know, back in my teenage years, early 20s, where I've just stopped picking up the Bible. You know, I've read the Bible every day and I just couldn't pick it up. I've just stopped praying. You know, I've been going to church, but my heart's not there. I've been singing hymns, but it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, when that happens, brethren, it's because you fainted. It's because you become weary. And this is why this race is so important. It's not a race of speed, but it's a race of endurance. Endurance. You need to pace yourself. In fact, that's my next point. That's my next point. If you can please look at, back to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're still in verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 1, the last part of the verse says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, normally, if you're going to run like a 100-meter sprint, a race, you're not running with patience. Let me tell you that. I mean, from the moment, you know, the gun shoots, you know, there is no patience. If you have patience, you're going to lose that race, okay, because it's a race of speed. You know, you exert all your energy straight away, you know, to get to that finish line. But brethren, that's not the race that we have as a Christian, okay? And I know there are Christians like that. I know there are Christians that get saved, they're excited, they've got the zeal, and I've got to manage them carefully because I don't want them to lose the zeal, but I don't want them to get burnt out. Like, I don't want them to be just a 100-meter sprinter where they do really well at the beginning, they're just, oh, it's okay, collapse, and they're out of the race. Brethren, that's not the race. It's a patience. It's run. Let's say run with patience the race that is set before us. The third point that I have for you, brethren, is run with patience. Okay, it's an endurance. It's a marathon run. We have our entire life to run this race. This is why it's okay to slow down sometimes. As long as you're moving forward, I'm not saying slow down to the point where you go backwards because now you're backsliding. Okay, I'm not saying go backwards. I'm not saying stop and faint. Okay, I'm saying, yeah, continue running the race. Put one step ahead of another. You know, it's so much better for you to just take one step at a time and make sure that every step forward is a solid step. It's a grounded step. You can move on from that step than to take some gigantic leap, you know, in your faithfulness and service for God, in your zeal for God, and just get burnt out and then you're just... What's that saying about the tortoise that beats the rabbit? How's it go? Anyway, you know the story. The tortoise wins, okay? The tortoise wins the race, not the rabbit. I think the rabbit gets distracted. I can't remember what the story... I can't even remember now. But anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about. Brethren, that's what we ought to be. I'd rather you be the tortoise. That's just taking one step at a time. But you're going to get to the end. You're going to get to the finish line. You're going to conserve your energy to get to the end rather than be the rabbit that wastes all his energy, get distracted with the things, and just think you're going to win because you're the rabbit, because you're speedy. That's not the kind of race that we run. I said to you before when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to remember, in verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." So if you want to master this race, you want to get to the finish line and win the prize, brethren, you need to be temperate in all things. What does the word temperate mean? It means to be in self-control, to have self-control and to be in moderation. Self-control in moderation. So what does that sound like to you? If you're running a race and you're trying to control yourself, you're not wanting to go so fast that you exert your energy. You don't want to be going backwards. You want to make sure that you're in moderation, that you're taking steps forward, that, you know, today is a day that you're serving the Lord more than you were last week or whatever, right? That in 2022, you're serving the Lord more. You're more ahead in your spiritual journey than you were in 2021. But it's fine, brethren, just a slow step. That's all I care about. As long as you're stepping forward, you know, I'm happy as a pastor. Like, I know that the preaching of God's word is working in your life. This is why, going back to one of my other sermons, I said, if you just pick up one thing, just one thing in the sermon, and apply that one thing, that's better than having understood the entire sermon and applying nothing. Okay? I mean, there are Christians like that that know great doctrines, they know all the Bible, they know the whole story, but they don't serve Christ. You know, without naming any names, I can think about someone right now on my mind. You know, just constantly speaking doctrine, promoting, great truths. But you know what? If you walked up to him and said, grab his hand and said, hey, let's go soul winning, he won't do it. If you grab his hand, I'll pick you up and take you to church, he won't do it. What? Then what? I mean, you're just on the sideline. You're not running the race. Brethren, one step at a time, one truth at a time, one doctrine at a time. There's no rush. It's a run. We're to run with patience. Okay. Point number three is to run with patience. Don't burn out. As I said to you, I have too many Christians in my life. It saddens me to know how many Christians burnt out. And you know, brethren, let me just also say this. As I'm on this race, trying to win this prize and serving the Lord, there have been times that I've come across a Christian who starts to outpace me. They start to, wow, man, you're running the race. Man, you're full of zeal. Right? I mean, I'm doing, you know, a couple of hours of soul winning a week, and you're there doing 5 hours of soul winning, 10 hours of soul winning a week. And not that I want to stop them. You know, I want them to, listen, if that's the pace they're able to achieve, praise God for them. I want to motivate them. I want to encourage that person. Right? And there have been times that I'm just doing, you know, one step at a time here, one step at a time there, and I'm seeing these Christians just run past me. I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with me? That's what I thought. Maybe I'm just not zealous enough. Maybe I just don't love the Lord, and I don't know. Why is it that these Christians are going so fast? And I'm just taking one step at a time. But then, all of a sudden, where are those Christians now? They've fallen off the race. Or they've gone backwards. And now I'm ahead of them. Why? Because one step at a time is necessary. It's a run of patience. It's a run of endurance. Please don't burn out. You know, please don't burn out in your spiritual life. Because if you burn out, brethren, you use up all your energy, it's going to take a lot of work to get you just back on that race. Okay? So point number three, brethren, was to run with patience. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're finally up to the next verse. Verse number 2. Okay? Verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. It says here, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now, I want you to notice what it says about Jesus. I said that this is, what was the title for my sermon again? It was a race of endurance. I want you to see what it says about Christ here. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." So you can see that this chapter is definitely about endurance, about stability, about being, you know, grounded, okay? And we have Christ as our example. He endured the cross. Brethren, not only was it a physical suffering, His body became our sacrifice. He took on all of our sins. He took on the punishment. He took on the consequences. He took on the pains. He took on the illnesses. He took on everything that is disgusting and filthy in this world upon himself. The Bible says he endured the cross. And brethren, the Father forsook his Son. He was separated from his heavenly Father. He became sin for us. God became sin for us. God was cursed for us, brethren. And the Bible says he endured the cross. So what do we have here? We have an example, okay? My fourth point here, brethren, is set your eyes on the pace setter. That pace setter is Jesus Christ, okay? Set your eyes on the pace setter. This is why we have Christ here. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus, you went to the cross for me. Jesus, you took my sins. All the wickedness that I've ever thought, I've ever done, I'm ever going to do, Lord, you took it as though you had done it, and you were punished by God the Father. You endured the cross. What else? Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So notice this idea of weariness and fainting comes up again in this race, because it's easy to faint. It's easy to not endure, to fail, and to give up on this race. But this is why we set our eyes on the pace setter. That pace setter is Jesus Christ. So important, brethren, because you cannot, if you want to run this race effectively, you cannot set your eyes on a man, not even on this pastor. Not on any pastor you think is just going to never fail. They're just going to get to the finish line, brethren. No, you set your eyes on Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. He despised, despising the shame. He suffered these things for us. And so we need to set our eyes on the one. Just like, you know, you may see certain races, you know, and you have, you know, a group of people running. And usually there's a pace setter. Usually there's someone ahead. And everyone's just trying to keep, you know, in touch with the pace setter. They're trying to maintain their run, and they want to keep up with that person. You know, when we think about who is setting the pace, who are we trying to keep up with? Who are we trying to follow? We're following Jesus Christ. This is why we're Christians. We're not Kevin-tians, okay? We're not anything like that. We're Christians. We're Christ followers. Set our eyes on Jesus Christ. And brethren, I've told you in my life, I've seen failed pastors. I've seen failed men of God that I've looked up to, that I've loved, that I've been motivated by, and they've collapsed. They've given up the race. They've disqualified themselves, etc., etc. And then what do I see? When you see these leaders fail, you see other people in the church fail. You see other people give up. You say, well, pastors' children, look how they turned out. This is a waste of my life. Why should I live after the ways of the Bible if this is how things turn out? You know, this man has failed me. You know, then why am I in church? You know, they preach that I ought to be in church. They preach that I ought to read the Bible. And look at how they failed. Then maybe this is not the life that succeeds on this earth. And many times when you see great men, you see pastors fail, you see other people fail around them. But why do they fail? Because their eyes were not on the pace setter. Their eyes was on a man. Their eyes were on a sinful man, okay? Just a man that needed salvation just as much as you did. Their eyes were on the wrong thing. You know, a very famous psalm is Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Brethren, I plan to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I plan to be the pastor of New Life Baptist Church to the day I die. Okay, I plan to be a motivation for you, to be an encouragement for you. I plan to do this for the rest of my life, but I can fail. Not that I want to or think I will. I hope I don't. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for pastors that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But I can. I can fail. And what I would hate is if I failed, then the rest of you just give up. Then that would tell me your eyes were not on Jesus. You know, you're trying to just follow after a man. It continues there in verse number 9, in Psalm 118, verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So not just don't have confidence in man, but don't even have confidence in princes, in people of authority, people that you might look up to, people that are doing well, as it were. You know, you can throw in pastors there. Throw in other religious leaders in there. It is still better to trust in the Lord. It is still better for you to lay your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know, when my first pastor failed me, one man that I looked up to so much and I loved, and when I saw him fail, he didn't fail me personally, but he failed in life. And I felt like he failed me though. You know, I remember the feelings I had. You know, it was like a feeling of shock. You know, I went for like 2 weeks with this hole in my heart. You know, it's just like someone just stabbed me. That's what I felt like. And I'm just thinking, why? And I'm just so discouraged. I'm just so saddened and so cast down. And you know, you are going to be saddened if you see someone that you looked up to, that loved the Lord, fail you. But I had to learn after a couple of weeks that, hold on, why am I so cast down? I'm so cast down that I can't even run the race. Why? Because my eyes were on a man. And I had to learn this lesson. I learned this lesson in my early 20s, or maybe mid-20s roughly. Okay, my eyes must have been on a man. I need to set my eyes on Jesus. I need to set my eyes on God, who will never fail me. He will never forsake me. And once I learned that truth, once I was grounded in that truth, then it didn't matter how other pastors failed. It didn't matter if other brothers in the Lord had a conflict with me or hated me or thought I was a loser. It didn't matter. It didn't matter anymore. You know, I learned to just put my eyes on the pace setter. I put my eyes on Jesus, and I knew, okay, Jesus, you're leading me. I'm following after your steps. You know, you've run this race already. In fact, you've endured more than I'm ever going to endure in this race, and my eyes are upon you. And I promise you, brethren, if you put your eyes on Jesus, you're going to finish the race. If you just remember to put your eyes on Jesus, you will finish the race, and you will win the prize. Can you please turn to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. Jesus has already run this race, brethren. Set your eyes upon him. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, "And be found in him," that's found in Christ, "not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." So we want to know the power of his resurrection. When is that going to happen? When we get our new resurrected bodies, right? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Then it says in this verse number 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." He says, look, I've not yet obtained this resurrection of the dead, as it were. Though spiritually we have, because we've been born again, we've been resurrected spiritually, as it were, but we're still waiting for that time that our bodies will be resurrected, okay? And the perfection that's been mentioned here is the completion of salvation. Again, the new resurrected body to go with the new spirit, the new soul, it's not a new soul, but the new spirit that God has given us. It says, look at this, "But I follow after," so he is following something, "I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am," let me read that again, "if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse number 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, a great truth that we learned in verse number 13, brethren, in order for us to be able to move forward, to keep running this race, to take steps forward, is that we can't dwell in the past. You know, we all have a past. We all have made mistakes. We all beat ourselves up about our mistakes, part of the consequences of our sin, okay? But in order for you to run the race effectively, to get to that finish line, brethren, you need to forget the past, okay? Paul forgot the past. He persecuted the church of God. Now, I've got an entire sermon in this Perfect Man series on this topic, so I don't want to steal my thunder too much. Let's keep going there in verse number 14. So once he's forgotten the past, in verse number 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So just remind yourself, you know, point number 4 was set your eyes on the pacemaker. Set your eyes on Jesus. If we want this high calling, it needs to be in Christ Jesus. Verse number 15. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." It's quite interesting what it says here. I know it's tricky words here, but it says in verse number 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained." You know, there's an interesting truth to the Christian life that we're going to get to toward the end of this sermon. That while we try to apprehend this high calling of Christ, while we try to step forward and be more Christ-like in our life and run this race, at the same time, there is another reality that we have already attained the victory. Okay? And I'll get to that point toward the end, but I just wanted to keep that in your mind. But the point of what we just read in Philippians 3 is that we're running this race in Christ Jesus. We're following after the steps of Christ. You know, the high calling is one that Jesus Christ has given us. Okay? Our eyes are upon the pace setter. That is Jesus Christ. Back to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4. It says, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint." So notice a faint there is mentioned again. "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So you know what it's saying here? That as children of God, we're going to be rebuked by God. We're going to be chastened by God. And sometimes we may faint. We may become weary. You know, as we run this race, if you break the rules of the race, guess what's going to happen? The referee is going to step in and correct you. Okay? And that referee is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God. He's going to chasten us. Let's keep going there. Verse number 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Wow. So the Bible's saying, look, every son, every child of God, we've all already gone through the chastening of the Lord. We have. And sometimes we don't identify it because we've gone through some trial, we've gone through some problem. And it's hard for us when we go through a trial, it's hard for us to go, you know what, I'm being chastened by God. Yep, my bad. You know what, I've just not been serving God the way I should. It's hard for us to do that. We'd rather, if we're going through trials, we'd rather be like, yeah, we're just being persecuted for Christ's sake. Not always. Sometimes you just mess up. Sometimes you're breaking the rules. Sometimes you're off the race and God has to step in and bring you some trials, bring you some chastisement, bring you some rebuke. But brethren, we're not to faint when that happens, okay? Because it's love. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." God wants us to run the race. When he corrects you, when he brings you trials, brethren, he does it because he loves you. He wants you to keep serving him. He wants you to keep running the race. He wants you to have the greatest rewards that you can attain in heaven. Look at verse number 7 now. Hebrews 12, verse 7. "If ye endure chastening." Isn't that what we're trying to do? Endure as we run this race. Well, we need to learn how to endure chastening as well, brethren. "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So point number 5, brethren, is appreciate correction. Appreciate correction. You know, if you get corrected by the Word of God, you know, I hope as I preach and other men preach in this church that sometimes you feel corrected. That sometimes you're challenged and you realize your stubbornness, you realize your rebellion, you realize that your heart might be a little bit hard toward the Lord and you've heard some truth from God's preaching, God's word, and it's challenged you. You know, and you receive some correction. You know, appreciate it, brethren. I know it's uncomfortable. I know when God puts you for a trial and he's correcting you, it's uncomfortable. And we don't like it at the beginning. No one likes chastening. But brethren, appreciate it. Appreciate it because God loves you. He wants you back on the race. He wants you to endure the chastening. He wants you to learn the lesson. He wants you to run with patience. He wants you to win the prize. He wants to reward you in heaven. Drop down to verse number 10 in the same book there, Hebrews 12, verse 10. It says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Again, why does the Lord God chasten us? For our profit. He wants us to win this race. This is why, you know, sometimes we think about the chastening as one element, we think about the race as another element. There's a reason why it's all connected. There's a reason why the endurance is mentioned here, because this is part of the race. You know, sometimes you're going to be running, and you're going to break the rules. Just like any game, just like any sporting event, there are certain rules in order that you are to run. Hey, brethren, and those rules are the laws of God. You know, if you trespass the laws of God, you know, you don't run the way God wants you to, He's going to bring you in line, He's going to correct you, He's going to bring you through some challenge, some difficulty to humble you, that you may learn the lesson, that you may profit and get back running on the race. Get back serving Him the way you ought to. Please learn to appreciate correction. You know, appreciate it. I you know, as much as I don't like going through trials, I've learned to appreciate it. I just honestly, I'm not trying to boast of myself or anything, brethren, but when there's a challenge, I'm just like, thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know, Lord, it's sometimes if you're correcting me, or Lord, it's just this wicked world and this is just the way it is, Lord, but there's some challenge, so there's some trial. Thank you, Lord, for letting me go through this trial. Because I know if I get through the end of it, if I learn the lesson, I'm going to be better to serve you in my future. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. James is saying, look, read the Old Testament. Look at all the prophets. Look at all the great men of God that have suffered affliction. Okay? And then it says in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Hey, we know the book of Job. We know how much Job suffered. The Bible says that he was, behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, when we go through these trials, brethren, and you learn the lessons and you run the race more effectively, you know what's the end result for you? It's going to be happiness. It's going to be joy. Hey, but if you faint, if you give up, if you think it's too hard, if you think, I just want to serve God, you know what the opposite of happy is? It's sadness. It's depression. You know, there are many Christians that are just sad, depressed. They don't want to serve God. They're not motivated. They have nothing. Just no desire for God, brethren. You know why? They've gone through a trial. They've gone through a difficulty, and they didn't endure it. They didn't appreciate the experience that God has allowed them to go through, and they've given up. They've dropped the ball. You know, they've backslidden. Whatever it is, brethren, however it is that you want to explain it, and they've gotten off the race. Don't forget the chastisement, the trials that God has given us is to bring us joy, to get through to the other side. Because as you go through trials, you have a greater, you're going to need a greater drawing from the power of God to get you through that challenge. All right, brethren, I'm up to my sixth and final point now, which I kind of already covered. I'm just thinking where we get to turn to. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 for me, please. And I've got my sixth point now. You turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The sixth point I have for you, brethren, is run as a reigning champion. Run as a reigning champion. Run as though you've already won the race. Run as though you're already a victor for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite quotes of my old pastors, he would say it all the time. He says, and this is, you know, I guess you can tie it into the racing as well, but he would say, you know, we don't fight for victory. He says, we fight from victory. I think, yes, of course. Jesus has already won. I've already won because I've believed on Him. I'm already going to heaven. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm already a victor. The Bible says in 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Brethren, if you've believed on Jesus Christ, your faith is upon the Son of God, you've already overcome the world. You're already victorious. You're already on your way to heaven. Jesus Christ is already creating mansions for you in heaven. You know, we are already reigning champions. And you know what? The reigning champions, you know what they want to do? You know why they go and compete again? Because they want to retain the crown. They want to show that they're still a winner, right? They want to take on that challenge and show, look, I've won it before. I can win it again. And this is the reality that I was talking about before when we're looking at Paul. He said, look, I'm trying to apprehend. I'm going after this high calling. But he goes, but I've already attained. He goes, I'm already victorious. I'm already a reigning champion in Jesus Christ. And we need to remember this. I believe this is going to help us really endure the race. If we remember we've already won. I've already read the New Testament. I've read the book of Revelation. We win, brethren. We beat the Antichrist. You know, people, the vaccination's a mark of the beast. What's going to happen to the mark? We've already won. I've already beaten him. You know, the Antichrist is going to be cast into the lake of fire. I already know. I've got the new heavens and new earth. Got mansions in heaven, new Jerusalem. It's already there. I already know it's there. I already know I'm going to be there, brethren. I'm going to be eating of that tree of life. I'm going to be drinking of those fountains that flow from the throne of God. I'm going to be serving my king. I'm going to be a prince and king for Jesus Christ for all eternity. I already know. Okay? And so we are already victorious in the spiritual sense. We've already overcome this world. Just the fact that you're saved and it was a free gift, you've already won. You know, the vast majority of this world has not won. They've not overcome the world. They're not victorious. They're going to die and go to hell, which is so why it's so important that we're effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. I won't go to... Where did I get to turn to? Sorry, where was it, Reverend? Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5. It says this. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. Be quickened together to be made alive. Look, by grace are you saved. Okay, so the moment we know, that's a familiar passage, by grace are you saved. We know that the moment we're saved, we've been quickened together in Christ. We've been born again. God has given us everlasting life. Okay? Then it says this in verse number 6. And, so not only have we been made alive, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we're already sitting together in high places. We're already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know I'm not physically seated in heaven right now, but spiritually I am. If I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm already in heavenly places. I've already won. I'm already on my way to heaven, brethren. I've already got a place there. Nothing's going to change that if you're in Christ Jesus. Just the moment you got saved. Day number one, you believe on Christ, you call upon the name of the Lord. Now, spiritually speaking, you're seated in heavenly places. You're already the reigning champion. You've won. You've won this race, brethren. And so, the reason I'm saying this is if we already got a place in heaven, we know there's victory in heaven, why don't we just bring some of that victory to this earth right now? Okay, we already won. Okay, we've got the power over sin. We have the new man that Christ has given us. We've got God's word. We've got New Life Baptist Church. We've got the Holy Spirit of God leading us. Well, if we're victorious, remind yourself we're a reigning champion. Okay, now I've got the rest of this life on this earth. Let me live like a reigning champion. Let me run like a reigning champion. Let me run like one who has already won, that already knows what it's like to get to the finish line and earn great rewards in heaven. One more passage for me, please. Go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy for me, please. I'm going to read to you from Colossians 1:9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know what? We're to walk worthy of the Lord. Okay? They say, well, aren't we already worthy? Yes, we're worthy because we're saved. Okay? And we are, yes, it's Christ that makes us worthy in the eyes of God. But just because, you know, spiritually speaking, we are worthy, in other words, let's then walk as though we are worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. Hey, these are the ideas of endurance with joyfulness. So, brethren, let's take a little bit of heaven and let's bring it to this earth. Let's take a bit of our victory. Let's take a bit of our worthiness that we already have and bring it to this earth. Bring this body under subjection to the reigning champions that we truly are, children of God in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please, verse number 6. We'll conclude on this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Very familiar passage. We've gone through it just recently because I've gone through the book of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. But in conclusion, let's remind ourselves what Paul said as he came toward the end of his life. Verse number 6, it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What is he saying? I've endured. I've stayed faithful. I've done the work that God has left me to do. Brethren, these are the words that should be coming from our mouth. You know, if we're lying sick on our deathbed, can you say these words? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then it says in verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He goes, man, I've run the race. Now I'm ready for the rewards. I'm ready for the prize. I'm ready for the crowns. I'm ready for these treasures that I've laid up in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And I think we all love his appearing. I think we're all looking forward to the coming of Christ. But I want to look forward to Christ coming with a lot of rewards for New Life Baptist Church. A lot of rewards for every brother and sister that this church has. You know what, brethren? Let's have that same desire that Paul had. Let's have desire to finish the course, to finish the race, to endure, to remain faithful to the Lord, taking one step at a time, running with patience. As I said to you, brethren, the title for the sermon this morning was A Race of Endurance. And so let me just summarize those 6 points once again, then we'll finish up. Point number one was to endure. You know, remind yourself that you have witnesses cheering you on. Number two, you've got to overcome distractions. Number three, you've got to run with patience. Number four, you've got to set your eyes on the pace setter. Number five, you've got to appreciate correction, appreciate chastisement. And number six, run as a reigning champion. Okay, let's pray.